Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. And tonight, this is the show Filling the Gap, and I'm your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode, which is episode 1205. And we just thank you, and we just appreciate your support here with us at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we thank you. No matter if you're calling us via phone or you're listening to us online, we just thank you so much. And before we get started, let me just explain a couple things. And normally tonight we would have Doors of Ruth hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. Tonight she's not able to do the show. And as you know that, you know, we have chaotic storms and a lot of different conditions. And sometimes since we're doing shows and episodes, as I stated, you know, each and every night that I'm able to, you know, give the announcements that we broadcast each and every night that we're able to. So one of these nights I'm just filling the gap, and that's the reason why the show is called Filling the Gap, because Reverend Lee and her family right now are safe, but at this time, due to circumstances, Doors of Ruth will not be broadcasted tonight with Reverend Maureen Lee, so I'm basically filling the gap. So, as I said before, I'm Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and so let's just get started. And tonight, I just want to let everybody know that tonight's title of the show is Frustrations. And, you know, we all deal with frustrations. And, you know, believe it or not, you know, God can be frustrated with us. You know, and during frustrations, you know, God instructs us. He lets us know. If we just truly, simply frustrate him enough, he can just have ended everything, you know, with Adam and Eve. He could have just said, you know what, this frustrates me so much, this is it. But God is a perfect gentleman, and God does give us some guidance, you know, and as men, and when I say men, I mean men and women, you know, we get tunnel vision and don't see God and his plans. And we get, you know, basically frustrated because we're not seeing eye to eye with God. But let me just tell you, there is a solution to this. And I will give you a couple of scriptures. I'm going to give you a chance to just write down these scriptures because we're going to be going over these scriptures pretty deeply. And the first scripture we're going to go through is going to be Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 30, Romans chapter 3, verses 23, Psalms 144, verses 3, Proverbs, verses 3, 5, and 6, John chapter 1, 12, 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And, you know, before we get deep into anything, I just want to just read to you, as I was just thinking, that God gets frustrated with us sometimes. And as a perfect gentleman, God just lets us know. He just subtly lets us know. And one of the examples that I have is in Jeremiah 17, 3 and 5. And I'm going to read Jeremiah 17, 3 and 5. O mountain in the field, I give you as plunder your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within your borders. And you even yourself shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and make flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You know, the reason why I stated that, because in these times of frustration, in this time amid, you know, the COVID-19, and amid that where we have the same norm of what it seems police brutality, where it seems at the end of the day You know, we are lying there dead, and we seem to be the plume of frustration, where even though we're frustrated, we've been frustrated for a long time, it seems like at the end of someone else's hands that it seems they can end their frustration on us. Yeah, you know, there is a solution. You know, we can't get tunnel vision. You know, worldwide, there is some form of protest. There's some form of everyone being frustrated. You know, across the world, you know, every citizen of each country are called, you know, what they are. Whether what race, creed, or whatever they are, you know, every culture, this is not, because this is America, this is not the only melting pot in the world. You know, if you're black in China, you're a Chinese citizen. If you're black in Russia, you're Russian. If you're black in France, you're a French citizen. And if you're black in England, you're an Englishman. In the United States, you know, we're considered either African American or black. And we tend to wonder, where has that second class citizenship have encountered, you know, encountered us into their to the society here where we live, where for generations after persecution, we still seem to feel the effects of some form of persecution. You know, my thoughts. You know, there are a lot of times where, like I said before, we have that tunnel vision where we just don't see the grand scheme of God's plans. So let's just get started, okay? And, you know, before I read the first, you know, verse in Exodus, you know, there are three important truths, scriptures I'm about to read. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just jump real quick into Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Psalms 144:3, it basically states, Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them. And we just want to just examine these two scriptures right here. What three truths must we always keep in mind based on Romans 3:23 and Psalms 144:3? The thing is that every person sins against God. And number two, God is eternal. He's perfect, holy, and glorious. And three, God loves people. And let me just take a moment and properly, you know, ponder and pray about the truth that, you know, that apply to each and every one of us personally. So right now, you know, if you can, please open, you know, your Bible to Exodus 6. And actually, you know what? I actually want to basically just get near. I just want to go back to Exodus 5:22. And so basically in Exodus 5:22-23, Moses complained to God for not resuming, for rescuing them for their troubles. You know, Moses is an example of all people, you know, including us. You know, we're honest with ourselves and you know, basically we have complained to God, you know, basically for mediocre stuff, you know, haven't we? Yes, we have. And actually, you know, when we sin, you know, go against God, we're really complaining to God. Let's note that God responds to Moses in Exodus 6. Okay, first of all, why was Moses having a hard time according to God's plan? God wanted Moses to witness his power. You know, the Israelites, they needed their faith in God to grow. And what did God basically tell Moses who was a sinner? And we go to verse 2, and God is the Lord. The Hebrew word for Lord is Yahweh. So there's no one else like God. So basically, God is just basically laying down the law. And it's letting them know, hey, listen. And so when we go to verse 3, Almighty God already made himself known to the people since the beginning of time. And he just wanted to let them know, listen, I have always been here. I'm here. I've always been here. And I do go through frustration. And so you go to verse 4 where God made, you know, a covenant. And basically, it was just a relationship from the people that were faithful. You know, God knows that, you know, the Israelites were in a plight, and they prayed to him. And now to where they feel as though that they have a little, they see a light at the end of the tunnel. He just wanted to remind them that I have forged a relationship with you. And he's not forcing himself. He's just basically saying, hey, listen, I want to make sure y'all see the light in the tunnel, and come on, let's go together. I'm going to lead you to, you know, make sure you get led to the promised land. And so we're going to go verse 5. God always knows what's going on and always is on time with his plan. And what did God want to tell the Israelites? You know, but before, you know, you come up with an answer to that, you know, what type of people were the Israelites? So let's remember, we're going to go back into Romans 3:23. And so in 3:23, we're just going to go to verse 9. The Israelite refused to listen to God through his messenger, his messengers. And so again, even though the Israelites were sinning, God told them, which is going to be, go back to verse 6, God is the Lord and will free them with love and might. And then we go to verse 7, God embraced them as family. And then we go to verse 8, which is the promised land will be theirs. And God doesn't, you know, he didn't conceal his love for people, although they sin. And again, in verse 9, the Israelites did not listen. Why? Well, you know, we come to why. You know, that's a very, very good question. You know, sometimes we have to understand, why don't we all walk in the path that God has laid for us? You know, we have seen many different examples where, you know, there's the portrait of the footprints in the sand. And always when we see things, why do we question what we see? Why do we say, how come at this point I only see one pair of footprints? That was the hardest time I've had in my life. Well, you know, sometimes you have to look at it for what it really is. Even though those are the hardest times in your life, and you just say, well, it seems impossible for me to get through all this. Well, have you ever thought that he walked with you and that he carried you? Or do you think that you're so great that no matter what happened, you can just boldly go to God and say, hey, listen, this is the hardest times in my life, and I carry it myself. But in reality, he carried you. And does he really have to explain what he did for you or how he brought you through? And that's the whole thing, through frustration. There's some times that we've been carried through, but yet and still, that what brought us through was what we've done. You know, what we do is a lot of times we are placed or taken out of a certain situation, out of a certain thing, out of a certain relationship, out of a certain, you know, element that we just, It's not mixing good. It's not doing good. It's like basically, you know, we're thrown, you know, and let's just use fishing terms. They're, you know, they have different hooks to catch different fishes. And sometimes we're swimming in a pond we shouldn't be in and know nothing about. And then, you know, at some point we get hooked by a fishing hook. And we just try to figure out how can we get out of this. And all of a sudden, you know, we struggle. We do, you know, do we have to? And then we get away. And then we get into the pond we belong in. And then we figure, hey, you know, I was in that pond. And I did this and I did that. And then next thing you know, we find ourselves swimming. Yeah, I survived this and I survived that. Let me go ahead on and I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to swim about like nothing ever happened to me in this pond. But what happens is you get hooked again and you just don't understand. Oh, wow. I thought I knew what I was doing. And at the end, what are you going to do? You're going to call on the Lord. You're going to call on help. How can I get help? Oh, man. You know, does God sit there and say, you know what? I got him out of this. Why should I get him out of there again? But God does not do that. As long as you keep things proper and you understand. And like I said, you know, everybody just not, you know, they want to see things for what they are. They want to see things for what they seem to make it out to be. They want to see things the way they have carved or paved the way. You know, there are others. There's Jonah, you know, the story of Jonah and the whale. You know, Jonah understood what he was getting into. He was running away from what he was supposed to do. You know, and there are some times that we run not away, but we run to where we're not supposed to be or what we're not supposed to be doing. But what God just mandated and placed in our heart real carefully. And then here we nudge ourselves loose from what, you know, God has placed in our heart to do. You know, we think that we know what we want to do. We think we know that we have the great answer. We don't. Because we always constantly find ourselves in trouble. And that's what happened with Moses and the Israelites. You know, the promised land was just, you know, basically a 20-day journey that turned to 40 years. And a lot of people say, how is that possible? Same thing is possible that's going on right now. You know, right now, if you would, you know, take a snapshot of, you know, basically most people right now, they think COVID-19 went on halftime. You know, if you see people without masks going along, or, you know, and I'm not talking about the protesters. You know, finally we got, you know, peaceful protests worldwide, but, you know, we always have that chaotic element that's always going to be there. And I'm quite sure if you try to sleep overnight, you would hear certain booms and you think it was fireworks. Basically, it was fireworks. And I'm talking about, you know, in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, you know, that's something for you to watch the evening news if, you know, you haven't heard or saw. But, you know, that's the kind of chaotic things that happens, you know, in life. And so, with that, let's just go back to Exodus 6, and we're going to go to verses 10 and 13. So God told Moses to go, but he again was hesitant. You know, so God spoke some more to Moses and also Aaron again. And God could have, you know, basically given up on Moses at this point. Because Moses at this point, everything God asked him to do, he had an excuse not to do it. He had an excuse not to do it. And basically, you know, at this point, I don't know how patient you are. I know how patient I am. Things that I do personally is make sure I don't have excuses, because it's either I can do it, I can't do it, or I don't want to do it, or I'm going to do it. And we just can't just, you know, sit there and say, hey, you know, the frustration of when somebody gives them the answer of, okay, I'm going to do it, and don't do it, or they say, okay, I'm going to do it, and they come back later and says, how do you want me to do this? Because I don't think I can do this. And you're looking at this person. And, you know, one of the things that's, you know, that we can understand with how Moses and God made this exchange is how, you know, you're talking to your child, and you ask your child to do something. And you know your child's mannerism, you know what your child does and can do and can't do. And at a certain point, you know, you're going to let your child know, like, look, I'm kind of frustrated because I know you can clean your room up. I know you can do this. Or I know you can do your homework. But, you know, as we grow in age, and, you know, God knows everybody. He knows your personality. He knows what you like to do. And so what are the biblical principles, you know, we need to know from what just happened here? And we can just go like this. Like Moses and the Israelites, we're all sinners. All deserving judgment. God can do whatever he wants with us, you know, for he is the creator. And, you know, we are created basically in the palm of his hands. You know, God is Lord. There is no one else like God. God is holy, almighty, omniscient, but also loving. God is almighty and holy. And, you know, we are weak and holy, but God still loves us anyway. Still loves us anyway. God knows everything. God knows our heart. He knows what we want to do before we do it. But he's patient. He wants to make sure that, you know, we fully understand the love that he's given us. And, you know, the love he's given us, and I'm just going to just explain it, you know, real simple. Because everybody says there's a season for things to happen. There's a season. There's a reason. And one of the things that we have to understand is that we're not, you know, we may be a little bit barbaric in nature, but we're not animals. And what I'm saying is we're not animals where we can't control our compulsion. We can rein it in. And the reason I'm saying this is because, for example, I'm going to say a bear, polar bear, any kind of bear. You know, a bear is under so much compulsion when the winter time comes or before the winter time comes, he loads up on fats, carbohydrates, all sorts of things. And then a bear is going to hibernate. When that bear hibernates, that bear can't come out of hibernation in the middle of it and say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom or, you know, I want to drink a water. No, that bear is hibernating. He is compelled to hibernate. He's not going to do anything but sleep during that period of that winter time. He's going to be in his cave. And you know how a bear, they say if you break his hibernation, he's going to be angry. That's how we are. When God says, I need you to do this now, or he snatches you out of the heart of being in full sin or waging any sin, we act like that angry bear. Why? Why do you do this? Why did you kill my grandfather? What? God is looking at you like, look, I am breaking you out of this deep sleep. You're not supposed to hibernate. You're not a bear. But you want to act like a bear. You want to be in hibernation. You want to hide yourself. You don't want to have that oxygen mentality where you just bury your head in the sand and say, because I can't see it, it's not going on. God has to get your attention. He has to snatch you out the hibernation. He has to get your head out that sand. So what he does is, you know, sometimes there are just people that God just simply, you know, can't use. And, you know, at the time, just like anything else, there's an expiration date. And sometimes it may be perfect for him to exercise that expiration date where he, you know, calls home your grandfather, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother. And the first thing we do is blame him. We blame him. And then we want to go on a chaotic note and say, God killed my father, killed my uncle, God killed my brother, God killed my sister. Then we go on to blame him. We're acting like that angry bear out of hibernation. Like, how dare you disturb my hibernation? or how dare you uncover the sand in front of my face? We can't have that attitude because God calls home who he needs to call home. And if it's a perfect way to get you to wake up and open your eyes, it so happens. And even now, and like I said, as I, you know, spoken earlier, you know, God is a perfect gentleman. He's not just going to just totally disrupt it. He's not wiping out your whole family. He's calling home who he needs to call home. And we have to stop, you know, gravitating to God like he doesn't know what he's doing or how could he or why would he. You know, God, you know, he seeks our attention. And as you know, God is, and he sees everything, past, present, and future. And at the same time, you know, we are all sinners only to see a portion, and we get frustrated. You know, we get frustrated because we got that tunnel vision and don't see God and his plans. How should we deal with our, you know, our own frustrations? So we're going to go running up into Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to him, and he will make your path straight. It's basically getting aligned, getting locked up with God, and just forging that relationship. You know, there's no way, you know, and I'm just going to go refer to jobs. There's no way you can work with someone that you don't understand, that you can't, you don't know their movements, you don't know, you know, their work activities, you're not, you know, you're not sure. You know, I know we all had at sometimes bad coworkers, and we've had, you know, bad relationships. You know, and each and every same occasion, it's just that, you know, the patterns, how we work, or how we basically live, it clashes. And sometimes when things clash, sometimes we can say, hey, you know, I think, you know, this person is a good person, he's a good coworker. It's just like maybe we can talk things through and smooth it out. You know, that's what we need to do. Instead of, you know, blaming God and just saying, hey, you know, it's his fault, or just saying, I just can't work with him. I've never known a person to say, I can't work with God. You can't work with God. What else, you know, who else are you going to work with? And God is just laying things out. He's just laying out their path. You know, we have to make sure that we unharden our heart. You know, because we have that part in our heart that we're right. And even if God is leading us to a path, I want to see where the end is at before I get there. I want to just make sure that this is my life, and I want to make sure that, it's going the right way. Well, so far, this part of your life, how's it going? You know, are you really truly going the right way? Or are you really letting God lead you? You know, are you hardening your heart? Are you making sure that you have that revelation, that you have that testimony? You know, God brought us through, not just to bring us through things and not to, you know, have a big burden like we're Hercules and we have to do 7 tasks and after that, you know, you sit back and lay down. No, that's not how it is. You know, these tasks and stuff is like that, you know, the things are going on. You know, and what is actually going on is he's leading us and he's making sure we're prepared for the next journey that he has for us. You know, God is a recycler. He believes in recycling. You know why? Because many times, each and every day that we get up, he's made sure that he's provided life for us. You know why? Because sometimes the thing that we do within the course of the day may not be enough. It may not be enough. So what he does is he makes sure that we wake up the next morning. And no matter how big or small steps that we take, those that are fortunate to wake up with their eyes open and don't say thank the Lord or thank you, Jesus. Those are the ones that are misfortunate. They're misfortunate because they can't see what's happening. They can't see what's going on. You know, I know there are some people that, you know, I'm not talking about the people that, that pray their way through and, to, and for everybody around them and for them, their spouses, their children, their grandchildren, or whatever. I'm talking about the ones that just wake up and have no idea how they woke up. That is the moment when you have to thank God. You know, you are one of the ones that I'm talking to. You know, I'm talking to you because there is no other way for God to reach you but to wake you up, to let you know that you're breathing, to see how he can lead you into the path of righteousness. You know, there is just sometimes where there is no way you can reach someone. There are some times that you have family members or friends when you say, hey, that's just the way they are. I can't do anything about it. But God can. He can. He's making you for the biggest example, for the biggest testimony that there is. You know, you never know at what point when God grabs you. And everyone says, okay, well, you have to be a decrepit person. You have to be 87 or 67 for God to just grab a hold of you and just turn you around. I've seen 19-year-old, 14-year-olds, 27-year-olds, 21-year-olds where God just says, now is my time. When he is grabbing and he just grabs you and you see the definitive action of that person who he just decided. It's either I'll bring you home or you're going to do what I want you to do now. And like I said, God is a perfect gentleman. You can make that choice. And so let's just go into the, you know, we were in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And so we'll go to 4. You know, God knows all the personalities. And while we are still alive on earth, God is not changed with us. Yet God desires a relationship with his creation. But people sin against him. What's the solution to this dilemma? Sin separates us from God. How do we get back into God's family? You know, basically, he created us all, and basically, you know, we're his family. You know, we're his family. You know, he created us. He wants to know, you know, at a certain point, you know, it's not just like a deadline or anything like that. It's basically him letting us know. I'm being patient here. And I only have a certain amount of patience. So, you know, it's basically, I just want to know what it is. And because, like I said, he's a recycler. You know, if he can't use you right now, he'll call you home. Because you are his creation. And just like, you know, anybody that has a fancy car, and I don't care how much you like it, if it's a Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, or any of those high-end model cars, it's just like any other car. At a certain point where that model is defective, you know, they're going to recall it or say, hey, you know what, bring that car back to the dealership, and we'll give you either a loaner car or you wait till this car is in the condition we think it should be in. Whether it's a defect in the airbags, the brakes, brake line, carburetor, or whatever it is. You know, when there's a recall, there's a recall. And one of the final things they say, hey, listen, even though we recall this model, and even though, you know, at a certain point, you know, even if you haven't brought it in, that we need you to sign this paper saying that you are responsible for the consequences of what happens if you don't bring them in. And so what happens is they say you have until, you know, 2 years from now, 3 months from now, or maybe you have to bring it in immediately. If you don't bring it in immediately, you know, it could cause death, damage, injury, or destruction of property. And if you agree to this, we'll no longer bother you. We won't even ask you anymore about the vehicle. If you want to bring it in or whatever, you know, whatever. But if you sign off, okay, whatever happens is up to you. And I do believe a lot of people that have that chaotic part in their heart, they'll sign off on accepting the Lord in their life. And for whatever reason. And, you know, I know in my heart that even though they have signed off, you know, any responsibility for the manufacturer for whatever happens to them, I know if they say, hey, you know what, I made a bad choice. Can I recall that paper and just even change my mind? You know, legally binding, auto companies would say no. But with God, even though you have signed off on believing in him, signed off on him helping you, he still won't recall your life. He'll know that you have built up a great testimony, how you have refused his offer time and time again. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that have refused offers in their life. And when they refuse these offers, they always sit back and ponder as time goes by, did I make the right choice? Did I make the right decision? How many times have you sat and thought to yourself as you replay things in your head or some things that you said, hey, I want to know. I want to know if I had made a different decision. And, you know, and like I said, the only thing with God is that we all don't make the right decision. And, you know, whether or not we know it, we all were born in sin. One way or another, we're all born in sin. But we don't have to continue living in sin. And so that goes to where I'm heading at right now, which is the call of salvation. And, you know, as I stated, you know, we're all born in sin. But that does not have to dictate or define how we live our life. You know, one of the ways we live our life is by redeeming ourselves. And how do we redeem ourselves? We have to accept Christ in our life. We have to let God know that we accepted the sacrifice of his only begotten son to die on the cross on Calvary to die for our sins. And, you know, we have to accept and believe. And then we also have to confess our sins. You know, it's not that easy. We have to confess our sins. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God. And you know, we have to let him know that, Father, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm sorry that I've sinned, but for now and forever, I wish to live my life sin-free. I accept your son Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I accept it, and I humbly accept the offer that you have offered us. And, you know, once you've done that and you admit with your tongue, you're saved. You know, let's not forget, let's keep it simple. It's like the ABCs. You know, accept, believe, and confess. And the best way to confess is just let someone know that I've been a sinner and I turned my life over to Christ. You can call anyone. You can say something to anybody. You know, you can just let them know what you have done. And, you know, by your conversion and your admittance with your tongue, you can also save someone else. You know, you save yourself, but you can also save someone else by just confessing and just letting them know. And then you can be a living testimony. You can be a living example. Because if you can do it Anybody can do it. And just don't forget that. You know, with that being said, you know, once you've done these, you know, these simple things with the ABCs, accept, believe, and confess, you know, we suggest you find a Bible-believing teaching sanctuary and that you work in the word of Christ. And I know every sanctuary is not open right now, but if there's a sanctuary available for you, you know, go ahead and get that nurturing in the word of Christ and, you know, also share, you know, your testimony. And, you know, right here at Purpose Kingdom Network, we're a church without walls. You know, you can join us each and every night, you know, that we're able to broadcast. What you can just let us know, and one of the best ways you can let us know is you can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can just sit and say hello, and we gladly appreciate that. Also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We can also listen to us through there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And follow us, and that way you will see each and every one of our upcoming shows and advertisements. Also, we do have a morning word of inspiration on Anchor.com or Anchor FM, or you can follow any of our social media pages, and you can get a morning word of inspiration. All right? And we thank you so much, and don't forget to share and tell a friend. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in the host name and the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And also, with God's will, guys, you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for D Block Church, hosted by Adrian MS Understandings Allen. And once again, well, God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at D Block Church with Adrian and Misunderstandings Allen. Please feel free to share with a friend. I'm quite sure you're going to appreciate another night of ministry with D Block Church. And don't forget to tell a friend. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's show, whether you're joining us online or you're listening via phone. I just like to thank you, and you know, I let you know that we appreciate your listeners to the Fair Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank you so much. There's not a reason that we can't doubt that we got to 1,205 episodes without you, the listeners. So thank you once again. With that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and conclude tonight's show. All right, and it is being frustrated, and we have to understand. You know, God gets frustrated with us, and God, you know, He really truly loves us, and He doesn't want us to sway or you know, just fall too far apart from His plan for us for glory, basically. And so we need to go to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. And so being in God's family, you know, it has nothing to do with your family line. You know, you don't belong to a church. You don't belong to a certain religious affiliation. You know, you're God's child. You're God's child. And so, you know, I just want you, everybody, you know, important before we go, you know, remember that, you know, the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, we are to receive and believe in Jesus Christ, who is God become man, suffered, died, was buried, but rose again from the dead, and soon will return to judge all. You know, and that's basically what we have to understand and just and take it for what it's for. You know, and it's in plain and simple words right there. So, you know, with that being said, I'm just going to wrap up everything. And like I said, there's nothing I like doing better than broadcasting. Can't imagine doing anything else at this night. more than being here tonight and broadcasting. And like I said, even though I'm filling the gap, I am just happy that I'm able to grace the airways and, have you guys here with me. Besides, just doing my own show. And speaking about my own show, I will be on the air again this Saturday at the 8:30 p.m. hour with Self-Expressions. I do have a caller, so I'm going to bring my caller on, and then we're going to continue with the wrap-up. Okay. Praise the Lord. How you doing, caller?
Oh, praise the Lord. This is Antonia Bass. I just wanted to say I thank you very much for extending the invitation to listen to Filling the Gap tonight. We can use all the prayer that we can get, considering the turmoil that's been inflicted upon us throughout this here nation and the world, I heard. But it's good to be able to know that you all still stay the course and let us know that there's still hope through prayer. And I just wanted to let you know I was listening as much as I could. So God bless you all, and I thank you very much for the invitation.
Okay, no problem, not a problem. And Antonio, before you go, I just want to let you know, may God keep you and your family safe, and may He uphold you, where you are at a point where you have any time to just give your testimony to do so. And God knows that we pray for each and every one of our family members, everybody that is listening to us. And we just want to let everybody know that, with that umbrella of one prayer to another, that we just want to make sure that, each and every one of the Purpose Kingdom Network family members are safe also.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
thank you so much.
It. And I wish you all the same,
and
too.
No problem. And anybody that's not familiar with the voice, that's Sister Antonia Bax, and she has Purpose Field Visions every third Sunday of the month, so feel free to listen to her, or just go into archives and listen to any of her shows her shows, if anybody's not familiar. And continue with the wrap up. We basically have to pray for one another and make sure that we keep each other in our hearts. And one of the basic things that I just want to just pass on to everybody that's listening that, make sure you love yourself. If you can't love yourself, there's no way you can have room for someone else, to love. So, above everything, make sure you love yourself. Then, follow God's commandments and keep, someone else in prayer. I know we always have that tunnel vision where we only think about family members and friends, but, we have close friends and we have people that employ us sometimes for jobs, and we have people that interact in our lives that we sometimes, when we come home, we have no significant thoughts of. So I just want to make sure that each and every one of us, before we close our eyes, that we pray for the ones that we have forgotten in basic general prayer. We just don't want to be the ones that pop up and it's like, oh, they passed away. Oh, this happened. First thing you think is, I didn't get a chance to pray for them. Well, tonight is a chance you can pray for those, the ones that we always, have in the back of our mind, but we just can't seem to remember when we're laying down our prayers. So let's just make sure that we don't forget about those. Have an insignificant amount of input in our life, but they do have an impact. There's always that one person that we always seem to forget to cover in prayer. So tonight, before we go to sleep, let's see if we can just make sure the ones that we can't get that name off our tongue, or we just can't seem to, as far as we're checking off and we're praying for people, just make sure that, the ones that have come in contact in our life that we pray for. With that being said, like I said, there's nothing else that I would like to do this evening but being right here with you and share this, broadcast. Like I said, we pray for the Maureen and Charles Lee, who right now are, in the midst of a blackout. But we hope that, with God's will and God's blessing, that the restore everything to them as they need it. With that being said, I'm had a great time tonight. Once again, I'll be on Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Don't forget to tell a friend. And with that being said, I'm out of here. Peace.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.